now. Here I was sitting there facing a lot of federal time, and he came and he preached the truth to me. Amen. I didn't like it one bit. Amen. Amen. Came down there and said, no matter what you're looking at here in this jailhouse, no matter what you're going, you got bigger problems than that. You die about Jesus Christ. I was looking at 37 years federal time, and the preacher said, you got bigger problems than that. I went, thanks, pal. I thought chaplains were supposed to cheer you up, make you feel better. That's what most of them did. They'd come down to the jail, and they'd slide a little paperback NIV across the floor to you because they didn't want to get close enough to get whatever it was you had on them. They might think they're doing their little duty, and they'd slide that little thing over there, that perversion, and they'd fold their hands, and they'd say, Jesus loves you, and everything is going to be all right. I'm glad I finally got a man that came in there and didn't say, Jesus loved me. He showed me from the Bible how much Jesus loved me and what he went through for the likes of me so that I could be, like you sang about, redeemed. Amen. But then he said, you die and you're sinning, it is not going to be all right. And he preached for the next 20 minutes on a lake of fire. I didn't like that one bit. Amen. But my Bible said, you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. You know what? That brother convinced me that he believed his own message. That's what you got to do if you're going to make a difference on a street where people are looking to see if you're for real. Amen. I was checking him out. There wasn't no sales pitch that was going to get me. I was listening to him to see what he was about, and he convinced me he believed that book. He didn't convince me to believe it. That came later. And, but when I saw he was for real, I started listening to what he had to say. It's going to be the same way for you if you're going to make a difference out there with anybody. They're looking to see if they want the truth. They don't realize it, but I'll tell you what, we live in a society where people are looking for something real. And we got it. What a blessing to be saved and to be in church tonight. Back there somewhere, there's so many people here. It's back there, there's a gospel tract with my testimony. And now you get some of them, and that might just be the thing that'll get the gospel in somebody's hand that's resisting coming to church. Amen. And then after they get there that way, there's also some over there. And we got this thing translated into Spanish about 4 years ago. And I don't have any with me, but they're available through Charity Baptist Church. Amen. 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 And also, prayer cards. I am getting professional here. Yeah. We got a new prayer card. I had one years ago, but people kept getting married. I suggested now that people in large families get a prayer card, and instead of having the people, they should just have the faces, and they should be stick-on. So if you got the mom and the dad and several kids, then when one of them gets married, just peel the face off. And that sounds bad. Then you can continue to use the card. I've got another method. We're down to three, and I'm just going to keep it that way. I'm just going to keep this one around, teach her to drive a motor home, and amen, unload my walker one day, and amen, I'm really praying that the Lord would come back soon. Amen. But there's some of them somewhere, and pray that you'd get one and pray for us. And if you make your way to the tracks and the prayer cards, you'll find some CDs. Now, one of them's got four ladies, lovely ladies on the front. Now, that's these two and my two daughters that are married and are faithful members of our home church, serving the Lord there. And that's good music. And I just want to tell you that my voice will not be found on that CD. And don't worry about that. Amen. I got drafted into this after they got married. But it's good stuff. And there's a piano CD, piano, instrumental piano music by our one daughter. And those are available for a love offering of $10 or more. You just put the money, give it to my wife, I guess. That'd be good. Give it to her. They get all that. So it is good to be saved in church. And I know you guys are waiting to hear a verse or something to turn to, right? Acts chapter 4 tonight. Acts chapter 4. And let's look in verse 31. Acts chapter 4 tonight, verse 31. Pick the mic back up. Gave plenty of time to get there. Axe is real hard to find, isn't it? Verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things that which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I want you to look in verse 31 again, and it says, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. Now that's what we're doing right here. We're assembled together tonight. It says they prayed, and the place was shaken, but preaching will shake the people. Amen. This says here, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. That right there, speaking the word of God with boldness, is the evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost. That's it. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. That other crowd got it wrong. That right there is the evidence of the filling of the Holy Ghost, to speak the word of God with boldness. Amen. But I want to preach a fundamental message tonight, very fundamental, very basic. By that I mean basic. I want to preach about why come to church every service. Every service. I'm not talking about every service of this revival. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not that vain, you understand? You'd be getting off easy if that's all I was talking about. But I'll give you some reasons tonight, beloved, why you should be in church every service you possibly can the rest of your life. Rest your life if you're saved. And I know this about a message like this. This is basic training. Some of you are past that point. Some of you got that. Amen. Praise the Lord. You're in church every service. But here's why Lord will lead evangelists to preach a message like this. Amen. Because traveling around the country, we see that everybody doesn't have this down pat. Everybody's not past that point. Amen. And you should remember how going to get saved. And, you know, lost people know you're supposed to go to church on Sunday morning. Yeah. They know that. Yeah. Matter of fact, lost people know you're supposed to dress up for church.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Amen. How many ever asked somebody to come to church and they said, I don't have anything to wear?
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. Amen. Well, if they'd get around us very long, they'd find out it doesn't matter what you wear. Lost people think you ought to give the Lord your best, but best if they figured that out yet. Amen, that was free. Amen. But remember when, as a brand new Christian, you know, you came to church and then you found out that, wow, people come back on Sunday night. Amen, and you ought to, and the preacher will say, see you tonight, you ought to be here tonight. And then you found out they met on Wednesday night or Thursday or whatever the case is. And you start thinking, man, I've got hooked up with a bunch of fanatics. I'm like Brother Castro, I don't consider myself a fanatic, but it is my goal. Amen. Amen. Say, what does that mean? I'd like to say I get as excited about Jesus Christ as I did some other things in my life. Amen. And you ought to want to, too. Everybody doesn't have this thing down pat, so I'm going to give you some reasons tonight. I don't know you, so it's totally objective. Amen. I'm not gunning for anybody. I don't get briefed by the pastors about what to preach. The farthest thing in my mind would be ever to ask the pastor, you got anything you want me to hit on this week? And I've heard of that kind of thing. Puke on that mess. I don't want, hey, what we need is God to direct in here this week. Amen. And that way he's the only one that gets the glory. But the reason this message is on my heart is because one of the sad things we see traveling week in and week out is that there's people that used to know that you're supposed to be in church when your church was meeting, and now they're not faithful anymore. And we go places and there are empty seats where there wasn't. Amen, and there shouldn't be. So I want to preach in this title, Why Come Every Service? Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight. I come to you in the precious name of Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for making your presence known to us tonight. Lord, you bless the singing as we've made an attempt to lift you up and honor you and please you and worship you, and you're worthy of our better than our best efforts will ever provide. But God, now we need you to speak to our hearts, and I pray, God, that you might reveal an area in each individual's heart tonight, Lord God, to provoke them to want to love you more, want to do more, and we just thank you for this opportunity to gather tonight in this place that you've given, and friends and other fellow Bible believers that come and support the meeting, and what a blessing that is. And I pray, Lord God, that it'd be true that we might be able to say it was good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Father, meet with us, we pray, and we ask that in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I come every service. First of all, because of the commandment of the Scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And let's look in verse 25. Amen. The first reason, I got some reasons here tonight, why come every service, and let's look in verse in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And the Bible says this, we'll start in verse 24, before the colon, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching. Now listen, we homeschool. I've talked to several about that, what curriculum we use, and my wife is the homeschooler, amen. We've had 3 graduate, 1 to go, amen. I've asked her to consider slowing down so that I can use her as a tax write-off a few extra years, but she wants to get done, amen. My wife's the teacher, I'm the director of field trips, amen. Officially, because I'm the man of the house, I get to be the principal. Believe me, it's a name only. She's the one that does the teaching. She's the one that keeps on top of that. I'm the one that sends the check to the people we get the stuff from. Amen. But she's the smart one, but I know this. I know this. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that's not a request. Amen. That's a command. That's imperative. Amen. The subject is implied, and the subject is to believers. It says in verse 24, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and unto good works. The subject is you.
That's right.
Amen. And it says, not forsaking. It doesn't say come once a week. It doesn't say when it does conflict with your favorite TV show. Or you know, I could care less about the stinking World Series or the Super Bowl or any of that stuff. Who cares about that junk? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. It says, be there when it's assembling. So for the person that feels that coming Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, if that's your midweek service, the minute you start thinking that that's asking a lot of you, let me present you with this concept. If the preacher decided that for your spiritual good, we need to assemble together every night at 7 o'clock, the Bible says you're supposed to be there. Yeah, now if you look at it like that, you're getting up pretty easy 2 days a week. Amen. Forsake, not forsaking. That's an interesting word. I looked that thing up. It means quit. It means desert. Amen. It means abandon. Those are serious words. Amen. Desert? My son came back 2 weeks ago from his 3rd tour in Iraq with the 82nd Airborne Division, and in time of war, desertion is grounds for execution.
Yeah.
Amen. I sure don't want to be guilty in any way associated with anything that might imply that I've deserted Jesus Christ because I laid up and didn't come to church. But that's what forsake means. It means renounce. My girls used to sing this song, I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb. You've heard that. Amen. That stirs my heart to think about that. I've been to Scotland. I've been to the mass graves of the martyrs. I've been to the shrine of the two sisters that were executed. We've got a godly heritage tonight. Amen. Folks that would not renounce the name of Jesus Christ and die. Amen. So that you and I might have a King James Bible on your lap right now. Amen. But I don't want to be associated with anything that even remotely comes close to cause anyone to think that I've renounced. Amen. Renounced the assembly. Renounced the church that Christ gave his life for. Amen. That's serious business. This isn't a social event. This isn't just something, okay, well, you know, if nothing else is happening. This is important stuff. This is the realest thing there is. I didn't get saved till I was 38 years old. I was a paratrooper. I was in motorcycle gangs 15 years. I've been dedicated to something all my life. I thank God I found something real to get associated with. And that's the cause of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Why come? Every service. It's a commandment of Scripture. Here's the problem. We don't like commands. We don't like being told what to do. Amen. Boy, we don't mind if people suggest or even advise. But, boy, no command. So here's the qualifier. This is to take the sting out of the commandment. Let me say this to you. It's not for your hardship. It's for your good. In verse 33 of Acts chapter 4, that Bible said this, about those that were assembled together, one place, one heart, one soul, that's our heritage. That's the local church, amen. It says this, that great grace was upon them all. Upon them all. Oh, you mean the ones that prayed real spiritually? No, that's not what it said. Oh, you mean the ones that sang those specials? No. Oh, the one that preached. No, that's not what it says. It says great grace was upon them all. Oh, them all, what? Those all that were assembled together. Amen. Man, if you could get great grace upon you just by coming to church, don't you think that's a good idea? I mean, I thank God that we're saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God. I thank God for his saving grace. But don't, you don't think that's the only grace you're going to need in this life, do you? Amen. I need his grace every day, sometimes two or three times a day. My wife and daughter need his grace just to live with me. Amen. My daughter found out last night in the motel just how bad I snore. Amen. Amen. My wife's been telling her for years, but we're in close proximity over there. And amen. I'm the only one who got any sleep last night, they say. Amen. I'm glad God gives them grace, amen. Because when I say amen, we get a chance to go here. They're happy. They're excited, amen. We go home. We see our old friends. We're in our local church. But when it's time to go, man, we're going together because God gives us the grace to serve him on the road. I'll tell you, though, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about a grace, a sufficient grace that God will give when it gets rough, man. When things aren't going too good. Infirmity, persecution, distresses. There's a list there in 2 Corinthians 12 that you're going to need grace of God to get through and bring any honor and glory to him. I don't want to ever be called a quitter. I got started too late to quit. I want to finish, amen. So there's a commandment. There's a commandment to be there if it's assembling, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But let me just say, the commandment's not for your hardship, it's for your good. Great grace was upon them all. It's not all. It's not just for your good, it's for your growth. It's for your growth, 2 Peter chapter 1. And beside all this, verse 5, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Amen. Well, you got saved by grace through faith, but that's not where it stops. That's where it starts. Amen. We sing just as I am. We sang it today. Thank God that's true. Thank God he'll save a sinner just as he is. Thank God we don't have to clean up our act before the Lord will take us. Amen. If I could have cleaned up my act, I wouldn't have needed the Lord. Amen. If we get to heaven any other way, what's the purpose of Calvary? I'm glad it's just as I am. You're not supposed to stay that way.
Right.
And then that's where you start.
That's right.
That's not where you stop. There's a little more to being a Christian than just being saved. Amen. Anybody in their right mind doesn't want to go to hell. Anybody that have a brain that get in on the gift of eternal life, I want to show the Lord that I appreciate that gift. I want to live for it, don't you? The command to assemble together is for your good, but it's for your growth. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. That's a tall order. That's quite a list. Amen. You'll probably be very, very old before you even get anywhere near the top. That's the way it's designed. We're supposed to work at this thing, growing in grace and the knowledge of the Lord all your life. Amen. Amen. Oh, where are you going to learn that? Where are you going to learn to grow? Amen. Watch, listen to Benny Hinn? On the Christian television, those two words don't even fit together in your mouth right. Amen. It's like Christian whiskey or... I was at a thing one time, and this girl asked, they don't do question and answers with me anymore at youth rallies, amen. They learn quick. That girl said, Mr. Spurgeon, what do you think of Christian rock? You know, I've been saved about 2 years. I'm doing community service. I tell everybody how I got off dope. I asked Christ to save me. That's how. That's what I told the judge. And she says, what do you think of Christian rock music? You know, I said, there's no such thing. That's ridiculous, the question. There's no such thing. And no matter how many times you stick Jesus in there, if that thing gets your hips moving and not your heart, it's the wrong kind of music. That's deep, wasn't it? That's somebody that spent 38 years on the street. Amen. You can bring somebody in here and give you all kinds of lessons about notes and flats, and I don't know nothing about that stuff, but I know the difference between the devil's music and the kind of stuff I've been hearing since I've been in here tonight. And that lost and dying world knows too. It's for your growth. Amen. Where are you going to grow in the Lord? Reading Joel Osteen's books? People keep asking me about him. I don't know. I've seen his face on pictures of books and Walmart. I wouldn't shake his hand, man. Something's happening there. I don't know what it is. But I don't have a TV. I've never heard him preach. I'm not ordering it. I'm not going to his website. Amen. But I know this. He's not going to teach you to grow in grace. You're going to learn it in church where your pastor or somebody else maybe that he's designated is studying the Word of God and then trying to commit it to faithful men. You'll learn to grow. Hey, that commandment's for your good, and that commandment's for your growth. Where are you going to learn that stuff? Right here. Right here. Amen. Little local church, little gathering, assembling of believers that believe that book, believe the God of that book. Amen. And just let everybody else do what they want. Amen. Just we'll meet and stay faithful to Him. It's for your good. It's for your growth. Amen. That you obey the commandment. Hey, listen, if it wasn't for those two things, this ought to be enough. It's for His glory.
Yeah.
Why should you come to church every service? Well, the Bible says to. The Bible says to, and the Bible also says that to God, it may not be this way with a lot of people, but to God, obedience is better than sacrifice. If we'll put our little agenda aside and obey Him, that brings glory to God. The problem is there's a whole lot of people that claim to be Christians. That never crossed their mind. Amen. They're fitting this in, this church thing. They're fitting it into their life when they can. And here's what they say. I'm a busy person, and you want me to come to church twice a week. You want me to come on visitation. You want me to go street preaching. You want me to do those. There's just too much. It doesn't fit. It's not supposed to fit.
Yeah,
if you're walking the blood of Jesus Christ, that book says, that presenting your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, is reasonable service. Say, what do I do? Well, you put church in the center of your life first, like he said, and then you fit all that other stuff around it. And here's the way it's going to go. there's not going to be time for everything. But it's not the Lord that's going to get pushed off the list. It's some of that stuff right now that seems so important. I tell you what, if you ever put this thing where it's supposed to be in your level of priorities, there's some things that'll fade away in your life. You won't even miss them. Why? Because God will bless you. It's a command. He likes that. Amen. Why come every service? Well, it's a command of scriptures. Whatever that means to you. Amen. Oh, I don't mean a lot. All right. Now let me give you another one. John 15. John chapter 15. John 15. We're talking about why be where the Word of God preached. Why come to church? Every service. Amen. Let's look at verse 3. Let's start in verse 1. The Lord's speaking here. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, look what it says. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ has been preaching. Amen. He's been preaching to people that were gathered together, assembled. And here's what he says. Now you're clinging to the word which I have spoken unto you. So here's another reason to be in church every service. Not just because of the commandment of the scripture, but because of the cleansing that it secures.
Yeah.
Amen. Now listen. I mentioned it here. I used to be in motorcycle gangs. Amen. There's a picture. That was the year I got saved, 1990. And I lived most of my adult life looking like that. And let me just say this to you. And I'm not into shock preaching or nothing. But let me just say, there was a time in my life where I didn't bathe quite as often as I do now. I mean, when people come up to you and say, they didn't call me Brother Spurgeon back then. And they said, you got a ring around the collar, and you're wearing a black T-shirt, you know, there's a problem. Amen. They're talking about your neck. Amen. Amen. My wife was so afraid that I might backslide that she wanted me to sign a prenuptial agreement that I'd take a shower every day. She heard those stories about those bikers that didn't. Amen. I know. But let's go on. There's a time when, you know, it became obvious you needed to take a shower. And say, I don't take baths. I wouldn't sit in that water. Amen. But there was a time when I'd find somebody, when it was time to take a shower, I'd find somebody that still had utilities turned on. Amen. Still had water. Go to their house, borrow their shower. Amen. And then get some soap, usually penitentiary soap that we had, like soap. And stand under that thing, and you know, you wash your hair with this old soap, amen. And who's gonna waste good drinking money on shampoo? Come on. And I'm telling you what, stand there and just look at that water running down the drain, it'd be black. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. And stand there and get, wow, this feels kind of good. And every time I say to myself, I ought to do this more often. Now you're clean. Feels good to be clean. Amen. When I first got saved, amen, after being a thug for my whole adult life, and then at 38 years old, I'm in church and I'm trying to find a job because I found out that the Lord likes that, you know. Amen. And nobody will hire me. I'll tell them that I have no experience. They all think, well, that means that I'm, you know, been fired. I didn't work for 20 years. Amen. I was in bike gangs, okay? And they say, what are you going to tell the IRS when they ask where you've been? And I'm going to say, I don't recall. That's what you say. I don't recall. It'll be true. Finally, somebody hired me as a laborer on a construction crew in our church. And here I am out there as a laborer with 18, 19-year-old kids, and I couldn't, man, it was killing me to try to keep up with them. The only reason I had any value to the crew is because I'd walk a 6-inch truss 35 feet off the ground when they wouldn't. I was an old paratrooper, man. You know, get up there and walk it, carry steel. I could do that. Amen. And but I tell you what, it was killing me. They'd get off work and they're gonna do it. Well, we're gonna go do this. We're gonna. Man, I was hoping I didn't fall asleep driving home from work. There were times, man, I had a two-story apartment and I'd get home and I'd sit there in the car and I'd be filthy and I'd be wore out. I'd be wore out. And there were a couple times where I considered, you know, I don't think I got the energy to get up the stairs. Maybe I just slept right here in the car and I'll already be ready for work tomorrow. As far as I remember, I never did do that. But I remember this. On those days where I was wore out, filthy, and tired, I dragged myself up them stairs and dragged myself into the bathroom and get that water going and stand underneath that shower and let that dirt rinse off. And you know what it'll do? It does more. It rejuvenates you. And on days where I was worried about even making up the stairs after getting cleaned up, I was ready to do something. Amen. It feels good to be clean. You're as dirty as I was, you know what I'm talking about. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. Let me tell you something. We meet on Sunday, Wednesday generally, and Sunday again, and there's several days in between each of those services, and man, we're out there. We're out there in that world. We're out there where the language is filthy. Amen. And the mentality is filthy. And the jokes are filthy. And the music is the devil's music. Well, I don't know about you, man. But before I got doing this, evangelism was working. Man, I tell you what, it was a refuge to get to the house of God on Wednesday night. I look forward to the Lord's Day on Sunday. Why? It's so good to get in a clean place. No devil's music tonight. Amen. Nobody blowing smoke in your face. Nobody taking the Lord's name in vain. Nobody hitting on your wife. You better not be. I'm serious. Amen. It feels good. Jesus says, now you're clean. Amen. I'm glad to be in a place, amen, where I don't have to worry about a lot of things. You got to keep your guard up out there. You don't get stupid just because you come in here either. But, man, it feels good to be in a secure place. Amen. Coming to church every service will clean up your habits. Man, it cleaned up mine. I had a boatload of bad ones. Amen. Oh, yeah, the Lord took dope and liquor away from me right away as soon as I got saved. Amen. I was in jail. Amen. That's probably the only reason. There's some other things that took a little time. There's some other things that took a little time, but God, clean up your heart. Get in church. Get around the right people. Get around preaching. Amen. They're cleaning you up, man. It feels good to be clean. Now you're clean through the word that I have spoke, which I have spoken unto you. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Number one reason, commandment of Scripture. Number two, because of the cleansing that it secures. Acts chapter 2, here's a verse, amen, as an evangelist, man, I look at this fires me up. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. What Christian, what preacher, what Christian wouldn't have liked to have been in a place and seen 3,000 get saved. Well, we're not that age anymore. I've been at this thing now with the community service and being evangelism almost 11 years, 16 years. I've seen 52 get saved one time in a big revival little town, 32 in a penitentiary in Connecticut, seen 20 some get saved two times in prisons and juvenile facilities. Amen. Seen 7 or 8 get saved a few times in church. Man, I tell you what, that keeps me going. Here, let me give you a reason. Because of the converts that surrender. I like being where God's moving. The reason I made it to second in command in the motorcycle gang is because I hated being told what I missed. I hated that. Amen. People that didn't show up for different functions, here's what you'd hear. Man, you should have been there. I once or twice somebody said that to me. I made up my mind that I wasn't going to be the one hearing about what I missed. I was going to be the one telling. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, we're in church. We're in church in Missouri 3-4 weeks ago, and a big old boy sitting in the second row came every four nights, came every night. The second night, one of the young girls told me that he was lost, and I went over and talked to him. And I said, are you saved? Introduced myself, just like I did Joe this morning. Introduced myself, be friendly and everything. Say, hey, man, are you saved? And he said, I've been thinking about it. I said, well, you better do a lot of thinking about it. That Bible says you got no promise you're going to make it home tonight. You know, went through the standard stuff, and he wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. Amen. He was honest. He was nice. He was cordial. He wasn't offended. And I look forward to seeing him again. He said he'd be back. And I had a message I was going to preach. I ended up changing and preaching a whole message on Tuesday night of a revival on hell. I preached on hell all night. Amen. And I'm looking right at him, and afterwards I go out to him, and I says, hey, Eddie, what do you think? He says, I'm really thinking about it now. I said, you better do more than that, boy. 36 years old, big old farm boy. Last night he comes, and I preached again. He didn't respond, and I didn't say anything more to him other than, it was nice meeting you. I'll pray for you. I hope to hear you got saved. Don't wait too long. And I didn't push it, you know. And about a half hour after everybody left, we were still putting stuff away, talking to the pastor, and boy, and the door opened, and in walked Eddie. Half hour after everybody left, he said, you know, I've been thinking about what you said. I said, you ready to do something about it? He said, I believe I am.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you what, that made my month.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, you better not need 3,000. You may never see that. But every once in a while, God will give you one. I preached in a public school in Connecticut 2 weeks ago. Two different ones. The roughest, most gang-infested 3,300 student high school. That may not be a lot out here, I don't know. But they got me in for a Bible study at 2:30. 3,300 kids. I went up there and gave my testimony. I thought it was a great opportunity, great privilege. 2 days later, I went to another high school, led a 15-year-old girl to Christ in a public high school chemistry lab. Amen. You could tell it's one of them science labs. I said, man, the last time I was in a room like this was physiology in 1968 or something like that. I said, what are you teaching there? He said, chemistry. I said, no wonder I didn't recognize it. I didn't made it to chemistry, amen. Man, when I finally made it to a chemistry lab and led a girl to Jesus Christ. Because of the converts that surrendered. 2 weeks ago, I think that was 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago in Massachusetts. There's Bible believers in Massachusetts. Amen. Amen. Preached at a big old boy, 6'6", 400 pounds, 25 years old, been out of jail about 4 months. He's got a suit on. That should have tipped me off he was lost. Amen. Here he's been invited, and he's at the church. He's got a little skinny, pencil thin. I'm glad that ain't in style for me because I could never do that. I don't even know how they do that. Big old guy, street guy, you know, gangster. He's big. I walked over to him and I said, my name's Dave Spurgeon. What's your name?
Kevin.
Nice to meet you, Kevin. Look like Jack Patterson's little brother. I said, Kevin, are you saved? I don't know what I'll say to a person. Hey, amen. What kind of car you got? What's your favorite team? Forget all that junk. I mean, you know, sincerely, no, I wasn't. Are you saved? He said, he looked down at me and he said, not exactly. I said, you better get exactly saved, son, because big as you are, you're going to bust hell wide open. Amen. Hey, listen, I can talk to people like that. I've been out there.
Yeah.
I wasn't putting him down. I was talking to him straight.
That's right.
He got back in the foyer, and I'm standing around there, you know, fellowshipping. One of these guys that had been in jail with him, friend of his, came and says, Brother Spurgeon, that big guy wants to talk to you. Man, I grabbed my Bible. I had it back there in the foyer. I walked up to him and I said, yes? Amen. He said this. He looked down. We'd give it an invitation. He didn't respond. He looked down. He said, I'm not too good with this public thing. I said, there's a little room downstairs, a little prayer room. You want to go downstairs and talk? He said, yeah. Well, I took that big old boy down there, and I stood there about 20 minutes, and I listened to him tell me about being beat by a stepfather that rode with the Hell's Angels, beat, rough life, drugs in his life the whole time. He said, I prayed I'd get big enough. I didn't have to take that from him anymore. I said, I think you got your wish, amen. Guy'd been through some stuff, been through some bad wrecks, almost died, couldn't figure out why he wasn't alive. I said, can I tell you why you're... He couldn't figure out why he was alive. I said, I'm going to tell you why you're alive. I said, because of this moment right here. God wants to give you a choice. Wants to give you a chance. And I talked to him a little while. And that big old boy got down on his hands and knees. Boy, I got down there with him. And I listened to a prayer that was sincere. And he got up and he's crying. And he's going, I can breathe. I said, I know the feeling, man. Things like that remind me just how that's what keeps this thing real. Amen. I know we're not just seeing hundreds saved, or, but every once in a while. And you hate being told, well, he should have been in church last Sunday, so-and-so came forward, got saved, that's great. I'd hate to hear that. I'd rather have been there and seen it myself. Because it's a commandment of Scripture, not forsaking the assembly. Because of the cleansing, it's a cure. Get in God's house, and the Word of God will clean you up. Because of converts that surrender. Amen. How about this? How about because of the choice it shows? How about that? Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, familiar verse, says this, and the Lord's speaking again, and he's talking to the believers. He says, you know, the Gentiles, they're worried about, you know, food and raiment. And he says, Lord knows what your needs are, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what? That's like Hebrews 10:25. That's not a suggestion. That's not preceded with, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's not a request. That's a command. But you know what? It's like all the commands, it's your choice to believe them, to obey them, to follow them. Amen. It's your option. You ought to, but everybody doesn't. But when you do, when you don't forsake the assembling, it shows your choice to a lost and dying world. You let them know what your priorities are. Amen. To a lost and dying world, they note your consistency. They know who's getting in their car every Sunday and every Wednesday night with their Bible. Amen. They know who it's real to, or who stays home to mow their grass, or one morning you're out there with your little Bible and the next week you're loading golf clubs in the trunk. Your lost neighbors see that. They know. They see who's faithful. They see who stops what they're doing on a Wednesday night, whether it's mowing the grass or playing in the backyard or weeding the garden or whatever it is, washing your car. And they see who stops. Well, and everybody, kids and mom, everybody goes in the house, Lord willing, has a meal. Lord willing, gets cleaned up, comes out maybe at 6:30. Everybody with their Bible, gets in the car, disappears. They see that. Like I said, you know what they're looking for? They're looking for something that's real. I'll tell you what coming to church every service does. You should come because of the choice that it shows. You made a choice. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. Joshua says, as for me and my house, and we will serve. That's all you can speak for. But your choice on who you're going to serve today is going to declare your priorities. You chose tonight to be here, choose you this day. Now, Rialto Bible Baptist Church, this is your meeting. Amen. And we welcome guests. Hope to see you again. Hope some others come. That's a blessing. But you guys here, this is your meeting. Amen. Amen. Today you chose to come. Tomorrow you're going to be faced with that choice again. Every day you're faced with a choice. Who are you going to serve? Choose you this day. I'll tell you what, coming to church faithfully will declare that choice to a lost and dying world.
Yes.
I'll tell you what, it'll encourage the brethren.
Yeah.
As a young Christian, man, I've checked out some of the other guys that had been saved by out of a kind of a rough background, and it encouraged me that they were coming. It encouraged me they'd been in church. It discouraged me when one of them started missing, and I found out, he just, had something else more important to do. That bummed me out. I've been heard. I saw in the Bible. I've been heard. I've been taught. I've heard preaching. I've seen in the Bible. You're supposed to be there. This is the family of God. And you're supposed to be there. And when some people that I looked up to started placing their priorities on some of their own things instead of the house of God and the worship service, it discouraged me. It discourages young Christians when you're not faithful. You don't have any right to do that. This isn't about what you think, what you like, how you feel. Amen. You don't have the right to discourage anybody.
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you what. What do you think when a pastor labors in prayer and in study to bring a message to his flock and then people aren't there? What do you think that does to him? You think that encourages them or discourages them? What do you think the devil does with that? I preach, brother, I travel around, there's men of God that aren't in the pulpit anymore. And it wasn't because they weren't faithful. It wasn't because they weren't sound. They just flat out got weary. Why come every service? Because of the commandment of scriptures. Because of the cleansing it secures. Amen. Because of the converts that surrender. Amen. And because of the choice that it shows. How about another one? Go back to Hebrews chapter 10. I'll give you one more. Hebrews chapter 10 again, verse 25 again. As already we looked at the first part, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And then look what it says. And so much the more as ye see the day approaching. What day is that? That's the coming of the Savior. You got to be in church every service because of the coming of the Savior. Amen. As ye see the day approaching. That world out there doesn't see it. They're not looking for it. How would they have a clue? 99% of professing Christianity isn't looking for the Lord to come. Hey, they don't even know if he's coming. Post-millennial, all-millennial, mid-tribulation. Most people don't even have a clue if he's coming or not. Man, that World Council of Churches wants everybody to get together, hold hands, sing Kumbaya, do a big, massive, worldwide group hug, and usher in the kingdom. Amen. They don't even need the Lord. They're going to usher it in. Let me tell you something. Read the news tomorrow. You live in the best mankind can do. Right now, planet Earth 2007, this is the best man can do. This is the kingdom we've ushered in. This world's getting ready to explode. Keep your eyes on Israel. Surely the Lord's coming soon. I never dated the rapture until now, until this a situation. If Hillary Clinton gets elected president, I'm dating the rapture for the next day, surely. Amen. Surely, man, we're winding down. Amen. I'm just kidding. I'm not dating the rapture, but I'm looking for the coming of the Savior. Amen. Say, how do you know? I learned it at church. I learned he's coming back at church. Amen. And not only I learned not only to look for it, I learned to love it. Amen. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe verse 8, that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for Paul, and not to me also, but unto them that love His appearing. Amen. We're supposed to look for it because he's coming, and we're supposed to love it, and there's a prize in it for you. But I'm going to tell you what's really practical and important for us to get a hold of. We're supposed to live in light of his coming. Why? Very simply because where other people spend eternity is determined by how serious we take this thing. Amen. I learned that stuff at church. You know, I know Brother Bernie, you worked in jail ministry?
No.
Okay, you did. Didn't you?
No, they
okay, well, that's the devil don't like that stuff. But I tell you what, the greatest revival in America is probably going on behind bars. And I said that this morning. You know why? You don't have to convince them they're sinners. They know they're sinners. It's church people you got to convince they're sinners before you can get them saved. Amen. But you know what? A lot of them get saved. It's a discouraging ministry when people get out and don't come to church. And they should, and they need to. And we know the Lord will do more than save your soul. Yeah, Jesus said, I came not to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Here I'm standing up here. I'm an ordained Baptist preacher. I've got a wonderful wife and all these kids, amen, that have made me into a grandfather, which I'm really liking. Amen. I got the most honorable occupation I could imagine. I got the best friends in the world, and I'm having a ball doing what God called me to do. Say, well, what about the hard times? What about them? There was hard times when I was lost. I didn't concentrate on them then. Why would I concentrate on them now? Amen. Christ saved my soul in jail. He saved my life because I got in church.
Amen.
Man, that's where I learned how to rightly divide. That's where I learned how to pray. Amen. I got in church. That's the key factor to why I'm the exception in my crowd. Amen. I believe a lot of them guys get saved. Say, but where are they now? Well, I don't know. You'll see them in heaven if they really got it. But I'm glad I'm in church. Listen, I haven't been saved very long. I haven't been out of jail very long. I was coming into church. I was a few minutes late. Our church is kind of the back door is on a ground level, and then the auditorium's upstairs, and I was coming in, I parked a couple minutes after 7, and I could hear them, everybody's upstairs, you can tell it's a long time ago, because we started on time back then, and everybody's upstairs, singing, and here I'm coming across the fellowship hall, and it's different, it's clean, brightly lit, the walls are yellow. You know, not what I'm used to, you know. Got the whole 1 Corinthians 13 is the border all the way around the fellowship hall. That's the name of our church charity. And I'm walking across there, and man, I'm going to tell you what, it was real to me. A voice said this, what are you doing here? And I'm on my way across. I'm heading for the stairs. I'm going to go upstairs, get in there. They're singing. And I broke stride on my way across that thing. And I started looking around, and I'm noticing all these things that are so different than the dope houses and the clubhouses and the bar rooms I'd spent my whole adult life. And a voice, just as clear as a bell, saying things like, "How long do you think you're gonna keep? How long do you think you're gonna keep this up, Spurgeon? You don't belong here, boy." And I broke stride, and I started looking around. I'm thinking, "Man, I don't belong here. What am I doing here?" You know what I did? I got over to the steps going up. Brand new Christian. I dropped to my knees. And I said, "Lord, would you let me make it?"
Lord, yes. Amen.
I mean, I doubted myself right then whether or not I was going to make it.
Right.
I didn't doubt him.
Right.
So I mean, I'd only been in church a month probably. And I got down there and I said, "Lord, I've been here just long enough to hear several people from a rough background here about how they were a flash in the pan and hot for the Lord for a little while. Now the FBI couldn't find them with a warrant." I said, "God, I don't want to be one of them sad stories that just fed the skepticism of trying to reach people that came from where I came from." And so I had no better sense. I just got on my face there. Everybody's up there. Nobody's around. I said, "Lord, I'd sure like to make it. Would you help me make it?" Well, so far, so good. That's 17 years ago. Amen. My question for you is this. You ever prayed that? You ever asked the Lord to help you make it? Or you just take it for granted? You just think, you know, you're saved and you go to church and, you know, you read your Bible, you know, once in a while at least. You sing some songs and you hand out some tracts and you've got some victories. God's helped you with some things and, you know, do you just come to church every week with this mentality that this is where you're going to be the rest of your life? This is what you're going to do? You're just going to finish your course? There's empty pews all over the country because people took this thing right here, this assembling of ourselves together, took it for granted. And now I don't know where they are. But I know this. That book says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Well, I'll tell you what, about the time you start underestimating the importance of coming to church every service, you're on your way out. Because when you get lax about this, your Bible's next, your prayer life's next, your witnessing's next. I've seen it happen over and over. Some of these guys have been in this thing a lot longer than me. You know what I'm saying is true. Hey, man, I don't want to go back there. I don't want to lead my family and my kids back there. I don't want to bring reproach on the name of Jesus Christ. Neither do you, do you? You better get a hold of this thing. You better get a hold of this thing here and now. You better, let me put it to you like this. This is your meeting, Rialto. This is your meeting. Let me make you a deal. If you'll come, if you'll try to come every night, so will I. Isn't that silly? Like, I'm the evangelist. I'm supposed to be every night. Why aren't you? Well, I understand if something comes up, that's one thing. But I know this, too. The list of reasons versus the list of excuses that people give for not being in church, there's no comparison to the two. Amen. I hope you stay in it. You know what somebody said to me? Going to church doesn't make you spiritual. I know. You know what I said to them? Every spiritual person I ever knew did go to church, though. Staying home don't make you spiritual. Amen. Now look here. I'm going to close with this. Now I'm trying to give you these things of how important I believe it is. To go to church, but as important as that is, going to church in and of itself isn't going to get you into heaven. I mean, there's people that go to church 7 days a week. I mean, and if they don't get their sins forgiven by Jesus Christ, they're not going to go to heaven. And you might be in here tonight, and I've talked about that, and you're a faithful church goer somewhere, but I'm going to tell you what, the most important thing is to know that your sins are forgiven. Jesus Christ died for your sins. Amen. And he didn't die so you'd go to heaven. He didn't die so you can have an abundant life. He didn't die so you can get victory over sin. And all those things are part of the package. But he died to keep you out of hell. And if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you're on your way to hell. And I speak the truth in love. I say this to you. My Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Come on, this is California. Amen. There's nuts out here. They'll run over you. Yeah. Nuts all over the place. I just came from New York City 2 months ago. Amen. The only place that people drive worse than Los Angeles. Amen. I'm glad I know where I'm going when I die. Do you? Do you? And if you don't know, we can open a Bible and show you. There's a fellow in there today. Should have let somebody show him how to get saved. You better pray. His name's Joe. You better pray he comes back. He heard the truth. He was befriended. He had opportunities. Hey, it took me more than a few chances. But pray for him. And maybe somebody in here tonight's not saved. Maybe you've already had a few chances. Maybe the Lord's already dealt with you. Maybe tonight's your night. Boy, don't let anything get between you and your Savior tonight. Amen. The importance of coming to church. Why come? Every service. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you for the liberty that you've given. And Lord, forgive me for just if I crossed the line anywhere or made this seem not as important as I should have. And Lord, there was almost too much liberty tonight. I thank you for a wonderful bunch of folks to preach to. And thank you, God, for the testimony. Thank you for the singing and the joy. And Lord, I just love you tonight. And Lord, I thank you for a little church on the backside of Dayton, Ohio, with a Bible-believing preacher that really got the point across to me early on, the importance of staying in the book, staying on my knees, and staying in church. And I'm glad, Lord, I was able to do that. And Father, I pray you'd encourage everybody in here tonight to make this thing as important as you've made it. And I love you tonight, and I'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.